the cadence and lyric of that song that accompanied the dance, anoint me, anoint all of me, which is one of the symbols of the baptism that we use. This baptism is a tricky thing. Even the site where Jesus was baptized is in dispute. Years ago, when we went to Israel, we went to that part of Jordan for the south in the West Bank, where some say is the site where Jesus was baptized by John. There is mounting archaeological evidence, however, that that site, that reference in John's Gospel to Bethany beyond the Jordan, is found in Jordan, the actual state of Jordan, further north of the Jordan River, where the Wadi Karar meets the Jordan River. There's excavated sites there and churches and tiles and so forth that show an early community. I'm not particularly exercised about which is the right site. I suppose that's a worthwhile pursuit for archaeologists and others, and maybe it's very important to some. I'm more concerned with how we live out the meaning of our baptism in the community of faith and in our personal lives. And I think that the example and the words and that which surrounds the drama of Jesus' own baptism suggests that that is where we should focus. It is probably the harder place to go, the more difficult undertaking to accept and to represent in our lives. You remember how the scene opens. Jesus comes to John. John has been out living in the desert. Remember who John is. John is someone who has grown up in the temple establishment. John is someone whose father was a priest. John understood the scriptures. He understood the import of the temple work and purpose. But in his own discernment, John, perhaps his family thought he had turned crazy, abandoned that and went, perhaps it is believed, to join one of those sects, if you will, the Essenes, went to live in the desert to try to engage and experience the raw relationship with God without the accoutrements to see if somehow his spirit could be communed with in a radical way that seemed to gather up the spirit of the prophets from the only scripture that he knew then, the Hebrew scriptures. He went into the desert and he began to discern God's call upon him, that God was doing something new, that the things that had been promised in the prophets of old had been breaking in now, coming to fruition. And he was calling on his people, the Jewish people, to come and to abandon following things by rote necessarily, because like all faiths, Christian and others, there are those who take it seriously and others just kind of go along with the motions and others who only pay cursory attention. But John said the time has come when you need to come and get serious about what God is doing. Come and take part in the agenda of God to mend the world. Tikkun olam, to mend the world. Come and join. And there were some, we're told, streams of people went to the desert, went to take part and to be baptized and to abandon the way in which perhaps they had been living, or to intensify the true meaning and spirit of it. So John was shocked, and this seems to be part of the early church, both in Matthew and others, that there was some dis-ease about the fact that Jesus was baptized in the first place. John says, I need to be baptized by you. You don't come. I can't do this. But Jesus comes. And it's an interesting thing that Jesus says to him, and John consents. Remember what I said last week, that in Matthew you have to pay attention to the number of times that Matthew uses the words fulfill. This has been done to fulfill. Because there is a plan, there is an intentionality. God has begun to do a work that is now seeing some fruition. And so Jesus says to John, let it be so, let this baptism happen. For it is essential for us to fulfill all righteousness. Whether or not John understands it, somehow Jesus and John cooperate in an act of obedience to fulfill all righteousness. Well, what is this righteousness? If we look at Matthew's gospel alone, the broader extent of the scriptures could also add to that. But in Matthew's gospel alone, righteousness seems to communicate two things. Remember, there are those that he will speak in a few chapters later in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He speaks about righteousness. He also talks about those who pretend to have righteousness. And so for Matthew, righteousness has to do with an interior quality, a disposition, an authenticity about being on the side of the right, on how God is making right what is wrong. There's an interior disposition and a commitment to that. But there is also an external practice. In Matthew 25, we're told the righteous answer after that time of judgment, based on their actions. So righteousness is both an interior disposition of cooperating with God, believing and trusting and committing to it for how we put things right. But it is also acting out of that interior disposition to external practices that are consistent and incessant. Is it integrity? And so Jesus, in this act of obedience to God and cooperation with John, let us do this, fulfills, as it were, the plan to unite in his being, both internally and externally, that which God is going to do to make things right in the world. So his baptism has profound significance. But you've heard the choir sing about this Noel and this Christ who was born to save. What we're talking about today in the baptism are the mechanisms and the way in which this Jesus is going to choose to go about this saving. The saving is not only about individuals. It is saving the dream of God for the world. That it be just, that it be merciful, that it be forgiving, that it be available and abundant to all, that all have what they need. This is the saving that is being undertaken by this program, this agenda of God that is being lived out through Jesus. And the key, I believe, for us to ask and ponder. So whether it is at the Wadi Qarar where it meets the Jordan, or on the West Bank, the actual physical geographical site, for me, it's not that important. The site, in quotation marks, that I am more concerned about is, where is this cooperation? Where are the people of God who have been baptized? The community of those peoples, where is that baptism evident in their life and witness and discipleship, in their spiritual undertakings? What interior reality in the life of this congregation and the life of each of us demonstrates that righteousness? What in our actions to one another, in ministry, in the church, and in the neighborhood and world demonstrate that righteousness in external ways? For being baptized is not just a nice, happy little ceremony that has an excuse for families to get together and have a great party. That's great. I love a good party. But it has to do with recognizing the symbolism and the significance of immersing ourselves and being baptized in the name of Jesus. Therefore, the site of Jesus' baptism is not primarily geographical in terms of where it is in the West Bank or Jordan. But the site has to do with where it takes up residence in the geography of our hearts and our souls and our actions, where we work and where we live, and how we demonstrate the powerful love of God. For notice, this accompaniment is not only for Jesus. We are told that this Jesus is fulfilling that which the prophets have foretold and foretold about the servant of God who will come, both as an individual and as a people, to take upon themselves the Ruach, the Spirit of God, for the healing of the nations, for the liberating of those who are imprisoned in all kinds of dungeons, physical and mental and social and familial. And so it conscripts all of us, not only Jesus, but we are told and given a tremendous assurance in what happens after the baptism. We're told a voice from heaven in this poetic language, as it were, to communicate some deep spiritual reality, that a voice from heaven proclaims, "This is my Son, whom I love." in whom I am well pleased. We can take that affirmation of God's love and God's satisfaction, as it were, with Jesus as a foreboding of what also is available to us. For God looks at this community of faith called Parkdale United Church. God looks at the people who constitute this community of faith, the baptized people of this congregation, and also proclaims, "You are my son, you are my daughter, you are my child, whom I love." Let that hang in your soul. Let that resonate in your being. You are beloved by God. And we are told, both by Isaiah in the reading this morning and in this scripture lesson, that that constancy and that commitment and that empowerment of God will be with us so that we will not faint, we will not fail, we will not despair in a protracted way. We will endure. When one in the community starts to feel weak, the others who are stronger lift them up. That turn will be reversed at other times in our life as a congregation. Similarly, in our own lives, this God who loves us reminds us constantly that we are conscripted to mend the world according to the example of Jesus. That's the site of Jesus' baptism, where it takes up residence in our heart, in our lives, in our actions, and in the congregation. The site of Jesus' baptism in this congregation was spoken of this past week. Maybe some of you saw the article in The Citizen, written by Kelly Egan on Friday. The subtitle on the inside page reads, "The Church Has Not Forgotten the Couple." The couple being spoken of is Bev and Joe. And we gathered on Thursday in their room and they wanted to do an update on how they're progressing. And Joe's mother and Joe and Bev talked about the support from the wider community. But I have to tell you, they reserve their most deep appreciation for the community called Parkdale United Church, who has come alongside them in constancy and support, and the family as well. This past week, in that hospital room in the rehab center, as I listened through music, silence, halting words from Bev and Joe, interview questions from Kelly, the sight of Jesus' baptism, a community of faith that reaches out and ministers. 121 people yesterday in the lower hall of our sanctuary, of our building here, experienced the outward working of some of the righteousness of this congregation in the Inn from the Cold. Almost every week, I am lovingly accosted by some of our guests to tell me, to tell the people of Parkdale, thank you for the dignity conferred on us by the way in which we are treated in this ministry. Card making, art, literacy, food, music, conversation, welcome, hugs, laughter, game playing, prayer. All of that constitutes the experience on Saturday afternoons. The sight of Jesus' baptism that this congregation takes seriously. There is also the sight of Jesus' baptism that yearns day after day after moment of every day to be born both in integrity and spiritual fervor and in action in each of our lives, in your home, in your building, in your neighborhood, at work, among your family, with your friends, at the gym, on the hockey field, the soccer pitch, the bridge table, wherever you find yourselves is an opportunity to be and bring and enact the sight of Jesus' baptism. We are baptized in the name of Jesus.
Where we go, we carry the agenda of Jesus, who on behalf of God is seeking to transform the world, to transform lives. This is not a quaint little ceremony. It is not for us to argue about how much water should be used, whether you get dunked, or whether you get sprinkled, or whether it's at age 8 or 13 or 16 or 65 or 41. The site of Jesus' baptism, whatever the age, is an act of offering, of laying ourselves at the disposal of God, only to rise again and to be used in the places where God lives in our daily world. The site of Jesus' baptism. Because if we remember that today and act on it, you know what? Already, this world is a better place. Amen.